If a man, his prized cow, birthed calves, twins, very uncommon. He was so overjoyed, he told his wife, he said, "Our cow has birthed twins, and I'm going to devote one of those when I take them to the market, and when they get older, I'm giving one fully to the Lord." She said, "I think that's a great idea." Months went by, and he walked back in the house one day, tripping over his lip. She said, "What's wrong?" He said, "One of the calves has died." She said, "Oh no, which one?" He said, "The Lord's." Beloved, the Lord wants your all.
Amen.
He wants your all.
That's right.
If you're not saved, you're worshiping an idol.
Yes, right.
A false god.
Yeah.
You were created in the image of Almighty God.
That's right.
He's the creator. We're the creature.
Yeah.
If you're not serving Him, you're serving something.
Amen.
Someone.
Amen.
It's easy for us to say the Lord is my shepherd. It's another thing, Christian, for us to say the shepherd is my Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. Amen.
We want Him to be there when we're in trouble.
Right, right.
Sheep are dumb.
Sure.
Defenseless. Yeah. They can't. You ever see a sheep in a circus? No, they're dumb. A porcupine can throw its quills. A deer can run. A mama skunk, when its children are in danger, and a mama skunk can say, "Children, let us pray."
Yeah.
But the sheep need the shepherd.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
And the shepherd loves the sheep.
Amen.
Gave his life for the sheep.
Right. Amen.
And the sheep are to devote themselves.
That's good.
To the shepherd.
Amen.
Our Lord. Let's read. Matthew 5. 38. You have heard that it has been said. Isn't that a pretty sound? The flipping of the pages. You have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also.
Yeah.
Whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain or two. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow thee, turn not away. You have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your
enemies.
Bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do you not even the publicans the same? Do not even the publicans the same? If you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect and mature, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect.
Yeah.
My text tonight, verse 41.
Yeah.
The unlimited service. Whosoever shall compel thee, constrain thee.
Yeah.
To go a mile, go with him, twain. Father, help us tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight. How I need you. Lord, that you'd move on us tonight again. That, Lord, we would understand tonight what the things of God are. As we open up the treasure chest of God, I pray that, Lord, you'd lead and guide us tonight. Father, Lord, save any that would be lost. I pray, God, you'd bring that salvation experience tonight to somebody that doesn't know you. And Lord, I pray for those that are believers that tonight we would walk out of this place, Lord, with our loins girt about with truth, understanding that, Lord, you are our God. You're our Lord. You have a right to tell us what to think, what to say, what to do, how to act, how to respond. Cleanse us, I pray. Cleanse our heart. Help us tonight in Jesus' name. I plead the blood. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated tonight. We need revival. I say we need revival in our church. Can I say the Free Will Baptist Conference needs a revival. The Nazarene Conference needs a revival. The Methodist, the Pentecostals, the community, the Independent Baptist, the Missionary Baptist. I'm telling you, the church in general needs a revival. This country's so religious we stink. Everybody thinks they're Christian just because they've been born in America. But just because your daddy's a preacher doesn't mean you're going to heaven. You must be born again through the Spirit of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you tonight, just because you hold titles doesn't make you a Christian. You must be born again. You can give money to build a new gymnasium for a church outreach, but unless you've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, your purchase of a temporal building won't get you into heaven, and you'll never have a place there to rest. Bless His name tonight. We can seek the face of God and love Him, and He will show us our iniquities, and if we'll turn from them, He'll forgive us and cleanse us and fill us with new wine. Bless His name. We need the power of God. We need revival. I found this recipe a long time ago. I like to tell people it's not mine because it makes people a little nervous when I'm saying it. But if you want revival, we'll have revival. If all of the sleeping folk would wake up, if all the lukewarm folk would fire up, if all the dishonest folk would confess up, if all the depressed folk would look up, if all the discouraged folk would cheer up, if all the gossipers would shut up, and if all the dry bones would shake up, and if all the tight bones would pay up, and if all the fighting folk would make up, and all the lazy bones that you'd get up, and all the true soldiers would stand up, and all the church members pray up, then we'd start seeing revival back in our church, back in our country, back in our home. Bless God. Praise the Lord. We've got a let's make a deal mentality with God. When the rich young ruler was wanting to know what he needed to do to inherit eternal life, and he began to talk about commandments and this and that, and he did certain things. The Lord told him to sell his goods and give to the poor, and he walked off of the pages of the Word of God, and we don't hear from him again. We don't find that the Lord sent a posse of disciples after that rich young ruler saying, hey, he's rich. We need him. Hey, he's young. We need him. He's smart and powerful. We need him, so we'll cut corners with him. Listen, friend, this is the deal. This is the deal. For every age, for every generation, this is good for my parents. This was good for my grandparents. It's good for me, and it's good for my children and my grandchildren. Thank God. This word's forever settled in heaven, and we need to find ourselves in the confines and the borders of this holy word. Say amen. Amen. I flipped while I was praying a while ago to Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Somebody says, well, I don't know how involved I should get in this Christianity thing. You look up here at me, you understand what I'm saying tonight. The Lord is seeking a bride. He's not wanting to date. He's not wanting to fling. He's looking for a bride. Say amen. Are you in the bride?
tonight. Thank God.
That demands total loyalty.
Amen.
That demands a wholehearted surrender to the Word of God and to the will of God.
Yes.
It affects, it's a decision that will affect every decision of your life.
That's
to
right.
Surrender yourself unto Jesus Christ. The demands of discipleship are clear. You have to take up your cross
yeah.
and follow the Lord daily.
Amen.
My friend, tonight we've got to pick up the cross,
yeah.
each of us,
yeah.
and follow Him. That's something when we're carrying the cross tonight, I'll tell you that will identify us with the death of Jesus Christ,
right.
the shame, the sin, the suffering, and we've got to understand that what He has taught us to do, He has given us the power to do the very same thing.
Amen.
He allows us to be changed through His Word and His Spirit,
right.
and thank God for the preaching of God's Word,
yes.
that sometimes we're rooted around to show us you're just not living right where you ought to live, and I need to mark up. But I'm here to tell you, God can change us. Say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Every time I see Tyler's hand up, my leg wants to go like that.
Amen. Yes. Bless the Lord.
With the salt of the earth.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's right.
With the light of the world.
Sure.
Amen.
Help him, Lord.
Come on, brother.
How salty are you?
Yeah.
Bless your heart, brother.
Yeah, buddy.
Demands of discipleship. Let me tell you tonight, when we begin to talk about going 2 miles with Christ, and we begin to speak about being a second mile Christian, we need to understand that that's an issue of the heart.
Yeah.
That will affect our conduct.
Yeah.
It will affect our character.
Amen.
And it will show how cooperative we are with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
To line up with the things of God.
Yeah.
You'll never be a good soul winner until you're willing to go the second mile with the Lord.
Amen.
Until your character is different than your last name.
Yeah.
And until you bear the marks of the cross. Your character is always going to have character flaws. Now, you look up here at me. I'm very simple in what I believe. I believe after you're saved, the Lord works on you until the day you die.
That's right.
Amen.
I've been around people that think they've got everything. One or two trips, and they're meaner than a junkyard dog. I'm saying, keep on growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I passed out cards one day at the church where I pastored on a Wednesday night prayer meeting, and I said, write down 3 words that describe you. I was looking for kind, loving, gentle, and I was reading them. One said, I'm meaner than a junkyard dog. I thought, which one could this be? Well, I'm not what I'd like to be.
Yeah.
Not what I used to be.
Come on.
But the Lord's still working on me.
Amen.
We're human beings. We want to do great things. But the Lord wants us to be great things.
Yeah.
And He's sitting here preaching on the Sermon on the Mount.
Yeah.
And He's telling a group of people, group of followers, if you get smitten on the right cheek, you're going to have to turn to your enemy. And they're like, that's not what we're wanting to hear.
Yeah.
Smiting on the right cheek would be the backhand smacking somebody. Brutal and cruel.
Sure.
He said, no, no. You're following a different law. It's called love.
Yeah.
And if they compel you to go a mile, you're going to go 2.
Yeah.
I'll explain that in just a moment. Let me go back to what I said. Following Christ will affect your conduct.
Yeah.
It'll affect your character.
Yeah. Amen.
And how willing you're to cooperate with the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
The Lord changes us from the moment that He saves us. He's changing us. People say, I can't get saved until I change. And I understand people start laying aside things that they know are sinful and trying to get themselves holy before a holy God. You're not going to be holy until the blood of Christ is applied to your life.
Amen.
Then we can stand justified in the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord.
Amen.
And that doesn't mean that you're not to lay aside weights and sins which doth easily beset all of us. He begins to change us. Now my wife looks meek and mild. I married Mrs. Lohr. I didn't realize. I tell people all the time they're getting ready to get married. I said, "Do you really love them?" "Yeah." "I married this maiden in heaven." I said, "Good, so it's thunder and lightning." And I said, "The real Mrs. or the real Mr. is in a cage. And about 6 years into the marriage, they're coming out." I married Mrs. Lohr. I've become a pharmacy manager at Walmart. The age of 24. Out of college. Young married. Youth pastor. Just started preaching. 4 months into the marriage, started preaching. And I come home and I talk about Lori. Lori was one of my technicians driving me nuts. Lori, Lori, Lori. Well, Mrs. Lohr didn't want to hear about Lori. And she caught me asleep. She went to Walmart. My boss told me the next day she went to Walmart.
Lord help me.
And she told Lori that Mrs. Lohr didn't want to hear about Lori. No more. She was to do her work and not to harass her hunk of a man anymore. Now, I'm not saying she swang her up against the dog feet. But I know my boss called and said, "You can't have your wife jumping on your employees." Fast forward. When you're walking with the Lord, it'll change your character, your conduct, and how willing you are to cooperate with Him. The Lord family is trickling out into the community with our little nest. And we're singing a half mile from the church that I pastored that Mrs. Lohr was working beside me. We're singing the first song I'd released to the country, An Absolutely Good Day. First song that I'd written. Had a million words in it. We were forgetting the words. Everything was going wrong. And I looked at her and I said, "Won't you give a word of testimony?" 20 years after Lori. And she said, "I love the Lord." And she said, I think I see somebody here that years ago, I wasn't real nice to you." And Lori went, "Ah, yeah." Mrs. Lohr said, with all humility, filled with compassion, her broken spirit, she said, "Lori, I'm not the same woman that I was.
Praise God.
And I want you to know that I love you. And I'm asking you to forgive me." We're in the midst of church. We're on the platform. We're there to edify the body of believers and lift them up. And my wife's going, "I'm sorry." The pastor's wife, she was about 75 years old. She said, "I've never seen this all my days. I've never seen anything like it." Because Lori got up. My wife came off the platform. Lori stood up and she walked right here by the altar. And my wife and her hugged. It was a few months later that Lori came to the workplace where I was working. And she said, "I want you to know me and my husband got saved the other day." Now, I just wonder if Mrs. Lord wasn't walking the second mile. If Lori could come and say, "I got saved at Soderdale Free Will Baptist Church." When you're walking with the Lord, your character and your conduct and how willing you are to cooperate with Him is changed. It's an issue of the heart. We're told in Proverbs, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." And people are saying, "Well, all of my life I've just been prone to tell people what I think, and that's just who I am. I can't control myself." Listen, it's a decision. It's a desire to dedicate yourself unto the Lord, to allow Him to take you into a door that is higher, a level than you've ever been before, that you no longer have to be that same person that you've always been. He's changing you, and He's working in you, and there's a glow coming on your face, and a smile, and your feet a little bit lighter, and people saying, "I want to call Him because He can get a prayer through. He's a Christian. She's a saint of God. I know them. I've seen them in the fire and they've stood the test. I've seen them curse and they didn't revile back. I've seen them talked about. I've seen people talking about others around them and I've watched them walk away." Your character, your conduct, your cooperation with the Spirit of God is changed when you're walking closer to the Lord.
Amen.
You're involving yourself. You're influencing other people through the power of God.
Yeah.
Listen, Christianity is a life of excitement. Say amen. It's an adventure, thank God.
Right.
It's more than a list of to-dos and not to-dos. It's following the shepherd in ways that He wants to lead us and guide us. Thank God. It's like I said, it's an issue of the heart if we want to do this. And out of the issues of the heart flow all of the issues of life. Come out of the heart, out of our thought life, out of things that we're meditating on. Just for example, some of us have a problem with the can't help us. We just can't help it. We just can't help it. Something goes wrong, we just can't help it. We want to tell them what we think because we just can't help it. We've got a case of I can't help it. And we just can't help it. Somebody makes us mad, we're going to tell them we just can't help it. But I tell you right now, somebody's holding a gun to your back and telling you to be quiet. I bet you'd be quiet.
Right. That's
right. I bet you can help it then.
Yeah.
And yet we have the Holy Ghost of God in us.
Yeah.
And we say, "I can't help it."
Come on.
Rhonda come down to the work. She's got cerebral palsy. She's about my age and she's the happiest thing. I wish I was as happy as she is. She'll come in there. She's got a little baby doll strapped in her little motorized chair and her caregiver's following her around and she always wants to point at me, "I got to come out and give her a hug," and all of this. And one day she had a sore on her tongue. And I went out to aisle 7 and she needed something. I told her what to do. And she looked up as innocently as could be. She looked at me. She said, "Would you pray for my tongue?" I looked at her. I started laughing. I said, "You pray for my tongue." Out of the heart.
Yeah.
How we're going to respond to people. Are we going to willingly follow the Lord? When Jesus is teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, He gets to this scripture where He tells them, "Whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain."
Yeah.
Hold two fingers up if you can. Look around one another. Peace. You're leaving here tonight. You're leaving here tonight going to be a 2-mile Christian. What does that mean, preacher? Well, the Romans had learned from the Persian government that they subdued a nation, they had the right to compel people what to do. So if Nick, under the Roman law, being a Jewish man, if this big burly Roman soldier come by and said, "You are to pick up my backpack, you are to carry it for me," Nick could say, "Well, I got to go home and help her with the baby." But this Roman soldier would say, "No, you're not. You're going to pick up my backpack and you're going to carry it for a mile."
Yeah.
He would go 1,520 paces and he would throw that backpack down grudgingly with a hateful spirit.
Come on.
Angry, mad, grouchy, frustrated that the law was making him do what they were doing according to their custom and law.
Right.
And Jesus is sitting on, Jesus filled with love and compassion, gentleness and truth and holiness and righteousness and gentleness and goodness and meekness. He said, when they compel you to go a mile, you're to go 2 miles. And now on Facebook, if there's this little symbol, emoji, I think it's what it is. It's yellow with its mouth open like this. And I can see all of them hitting that when Jesus is saying, "I'm telling you, you're not to go a mile, you're to go 2.
Yeah. Right. Amen.
That's not what they wanted to hear. They wanted somebody to say, "Hey, I'm going to overthrow these Romans. We're going to take over the throne. We're going to come in here and rule with an iron fist." But no, he was going to win the world through love, through love, through love. Amen.
Amen.
Changing our character, changing our conduct, cooperating with him. So he says, "You are to go 2 miles. You're to go to the next level."
Amen.
Now listen to me. I hope I'm not preaching too long. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Thank you. I just heard within my heart, "Preach on, boy." You can live on the hellish level. People do that.
Yeah.
My dad's 79. My mom's 76. My daughter graduated a few years ago. Now I remember we were setting up a tent in my field, getting ready to have a party for my daughter. And my daddy was probably about 75 then. And there had been an older man about his age that opened up his house to a stranger that said that he wanted water. And the older man opened up his house and that thug come in and beat that old man. And that upset my dad so bad, he said, I had a big walnut tree. He said, "Son, I think if they just hang a few of them up there for a while." If you do good to some people, they'll do evil to you.
Right. That's true. That's right.
You understand that?
Amen.
That's the hellish level. Then there's the human level.
Yeah.
You be good to me.
Yeah.
I'll be good to you.
Yeah. Right.
You spit in my eye, I'll claw yours out. That's the human level.
Right.
I'll do this for you if you can return a favor for me.
Yeah.
Buddy. That's the human level.
That's right.
But Jesus comes on the scene and says, "Hey, your conduct, your character is going to be changed if you cooperate with me."
Yeah.
And when men do evil to you, you're on a heavenly level.
Right.
They do evil to you, you're going to do good to them.
Yeah.
They despitefully use you, you're going to bless them.
Yeah.
They're cursing you. Jesus is saying, "You can do all things through Christ which strengthens you. You're going to pray for them."
Yeah.
Wow. I wonder tonight how many's on the second mile tonight.
That's good.
Good.
You're getting quiet on me.
Yeah,
are you still with me?
Yeah. Yes.
Amen.
Keep going.
Second mile tells us to love our enemies. As I said before, Sandy's motto was like the Navy's, don't tread on me. But her character was changed. Revenge will backfire on you.
Yeah.
Unforgiving spirits
Amen.
Will eat your inward parts.
That's right.
And will steal your peace and will take your testimony.
Amen.
And there's people here tonight that have enemies. There are Christians here tonight that aren't talking to their siblings.
Come on.
Yeah. Come on,
I have taken people to the funeral home to say goodbye to their dads when they wouldn't talk to their fathers for years until they were lying in a cold casket.
Yeah.
Jesus was on his way to the cross. He had to stop in Gethsemane. There he died to his will, I believe. And you remember they came bearing swords and spears. And here comes Judas with that kiss.
Yeah.
And Peter, there's so much of the spirit of Peter in us.
Right.
He grabs his sword and he swings the sword and he cuts the ear off of Malchus. And there the Lord picks up the ear, tells, put the sword up, and picks up the ear, and he heals the only wounded person we find Christ healing had been wounded by a follower of Christ. And what would it have been to see an earless soldier standing around the cross while the Son of Man and the Son of God was dying for the sins of the entire world, for those that hated Him and mocked Him and reviled Him and despitefully called Him all kinds of names and plucked His beard and planted a crown of thorns upon His head. I'm telling you, He died for the most wicked. He died for you. He died for that Roman soldier. He died for Peter. He died for the backslider. He died for the murderer. He died for the adulterer. He died for the one filled with lust. He died for the bitter. He died for the jealous. He died for you and I. First His name, He was led to the cross like a lamb before the slaughter. But He did it because He loved us, thank God.
Amen.
Bless His name.
Jesus.
Thank you.
That way, through His death, we can have life.
Yeah.
And we can begin to show love. Because we follow one who was absolutely nothing but love.
Yes.
He is love, the Bible declares.
Lord.
Amen.
And it's not an attribute. It's what He is.
Amen.
He is love. And it'll affect. It'll affect your conduct. A couple years ago, I'd say 2 years now, we've been full-time 18 months. Pharmacy manager for 25 years. A pastor. The church took well care of us. We had it pretty easy. I had debt, still got debt. One day a lady came down to the pharmacy. I'm not boasting on myself. Just listen to me for a moment. It'll change you. If you'll get a hold of what I'm saying tonight, it'll change your reaction.
Come on,
yeah. Sometimes people annoy me. Can I just be honest with you?
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes I like to tell people what I think. And sometimes I've been guilty of doing that. Be quiet, family. Lady come down to work. She was sick. And she was broke. Now listen to me. I pastored 20 years. I pastored in the inner city of Portsmouth, Iowa. I was in the drug capital. And everybody kept coming by. Everybody had a dying grandma in Texas. I'm like, your grandma's not dying. So I had to be cautious. If you're not careful, that rubs off on you everywhere you go.
Yeah.
And here comes a lady needing help. I told the technician, lower the price as low as we can go. And she told her what it was. The woman just starts bawling. She was sick. She said, I'll be back in about 5 days. I looked at my tech and I said, run that through. I slid the card over to her. I said, take care of it. Tell her how to take it. Go on. She told her that. My technician doesn't go to church. She's seen the good, the bad, the ugly. The lady understood that it was paid for. She starts weeping. I'll be back. I said, just go on. Just go on. You say you do that for everybody?
Right.
No. But when the Spirit of God prompts you.
Yeah, that's right.
There you go.
Amen.
If you're on the 2 mile, if you're a Christian, there's not a 3 mile. We're on the 2 mile until we walk into the city.
Yeah.
Come on, preacher.
Amen.
Fast forward. Months down the road, we're holding revival back at the church that I pastored.
Yeah.
I wasn't pastoring now. And I was holding revival back there. And in walked a woman. She had run into my sister who attends that church. She had Lamaze class with my sister 30-some years prior. And she shows up at this church one day and she pulls out a list of people she owes money to, including the pharmacist at Rite Aid. My sister said, that's my brother. He's the pastor of this church. Do you see how our conduct affects other people?
Yeah.
Do you know you pass people today that need Jesus?
Yeah. That's right.
You affected people today. You influenced people today.
Yeah. Right.
You inspired people or pushed people away today. But if you're walking on the second mile, I'm telling you, the Lord's wanting us to cooperate with Him and follow Him. Let me tell you another story really quick. My family was doing an 8-day camp meeting, outdoor camp meeting, no water, no running water, and there wasn't a toilet around other than Johnny on the spot, and they didn't have no water, they didn't have no fans, they didn't have no air conditioning, they had funeral fans, it was hot in June. I thought, I know what these funeral fans are for, I'm going to fall over, they're going to need a phone number to call the funeral home to come and pick me up. It's back when you get done preaching. But I'm telling you, before we got there, they put us in Burr Oak State Park Lodge, and I had my trailer, and I pulled it in one way, and I'm not very good at that. I mean, I put me in Walmart parking lot, and I could make a circle. But I had to get that thing out of that park, and I had to get it over to where we were doing that 8-day outdoor camp meeting. And I began to pull, and I knew that where we were in, made a big circle. And a man come out, he said, whoa, can you get up that hill? I said, what hill? He said, there's a hill up there. Can you get up there with that Suburban? I have a 2-wheel drive. I said, well, I can't turn around. He said, listen, there's a big hill. You better go. You don't slow down. Well, we go around the little curve, and I see this little thing. I'm like, that's a hill. He thinks that's a hill. And we're going over it, you know, whistling, something. And all of a sudden, I go around another curve, and I mean, there it was. Sandy goes, Flora! And I was shoving as fast as I could. I mean, the grass all the way down. And that Suburban, and we got up to the top and started doing this. I don't know if you understand, but I'm hyper. And the Spirit of God came in the car and calmed me. And I said, get out, please. 45 minutes later, everything had been taken out of the trailer. God had sent the pastor's son to come and help us. We had one bar on our cell phone, and they waited for church till we got there. But for 45 minutes, Vonda was watching us in the middle of the forest. At the top of the hill was Vonda. Sweat was all over me and Samuel. I mean, we were a mess. Skeet is everywhere. Gnats in your eye.
And there's Vonda. Deer hunters can't get up here either. That didn't help me. I tell her all the time, you can't get up this hill unless you got a four-wheel drive. By the way, the Lord helped me sell that car. Let's just go ahead and praise Jesus. I don't know if it was the Holy Spirit or if I was just hot and bothered. I think it was the Holy Spirit. Because I stopped and I looked at her once we had it all hitched up, ready to go. I said, Vonda, I've not spent 45 minutes out here on the backside of the forest for nothing. And I said, I want to know right now, if you die before the sun rises, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior? She goes, yeah. Well, God's a judge. I said, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not asking you if you're religious. I'm asking you if you've been born again by the blood of Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God's in your heart.
Amen.
I said, because this, Vonda, this whole world's religious.
Sure. Yeah.
And I, she said, well, I've been saved. I said, well, come off the hill and get into a good Bible-believing church and roll your sleeves up and begin to work.
Yeah.
I'm trying to tell us when we're walking the second mile, we'll begin to cooperate with the Holy Spirit of God and He begins to witness to us and inspire us to do things that we normally wouldn't be able to do. I'd like to have a great preacher story where she fell down by a log, laying there on the side of the hill and asked Jesus to come into her heart. But when I stand before an almighty God, I might hear Him say, you remember when you were all sweaty right there? And all of a sudden, here comes a lady named Vonda that said, you got the seed in my heart and somebody else wanted that seed. And Jesus Christ saved me from all of my sin. Why? Because we come up for random with God. Amen. Well, I knew I'd preach on tonight. When you're walking the second mile, it'll affect how you act at work.
Amen.
They used to hire Christians. They used to hire Christians at workplaces. Because you were Christian. You'd be the best worker.
Yeah, come on.
You'd be on time. You wouldn't be grumbling all the time. You'd take the, you wouldn't even take a paper clip from what yours.
Come on.
You wouldn't put the tool in your toolbox and take it home and go, oops.
Come on.
Right.
Yeah. Come on. Amen.
Because people's watching. My dad was that little quiet man. And there was this big, tall, lanky guy named Rick Swinsburg that was in his 20s working with my daddy. And they'd cuss my dad, give him hard jobs to do, but when the lunch bucket was opened, George Lord would take his hat off and bow his head. And when people were talking about him, he wouldn't say nothing back. He didn't let people walk all over him. Don't misunderstand me. There's a way to stand up in the right way. My dad won that man, Rick Swinsburg, to the Lord. When they began to pair people up, Rick said, I stood as close to your dad as I possibly could so they would put him with me. I wanted to be around him.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know why the Lord family is even singing? Why we even recorded our very first record? It's because my dad led a man named Rick Swinsburg to the Lord on the railroad. And the Lord saved him, and Rick began to cooperate with the Lord and love gospel music and started a radio program, started a studio, left my church in Ohio and went to Nashville and is working for a large record company, and his old pastor calls and says, I've got a song that's got 1,000 words. All because a man at work chose to walk
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Second mile. It'll affect your home.
Amen.
And look up here at me. It's not easy for two Christians to stay in fellowship all the time in the same house. I'm getting older. She's 3 years younger than me. These kids, they know everything at this point. We're together all the time, and they agitate me. Would you please pray? They get on my nerves. And sometimes, men, you want to get on top of the roof of your house. You want to get away from her. You don't want to hear her. You don't want to hear nothing about her. And she's saying, let me go to the garage and get the ladder so you can get on the roof. Lord, help me. Come and sing. Lord, I need to walk that second mile. Somebody tonight needs to forgive. Somebody's going like this, smacking you. Some of you have not forgiven your neighbor. He didn't know what he was saying while God kept looking at him weird. He's thinking, what have I said wrong? And he's saying, you need to love your neighbor. You need to love your neighbor. Love on your neighbor.
Amen.
Show your neighbor you love him.
Amen.
Who is my neighbor? It's not just your next door person. Although you should have probably shared Jesus with them by now. Your neighbor's your boss that you say, he's the devil. No, he might be his brother. He ain't the devil. Who's my neighbor? Young people, it's your school teacher. You say, I can't live a Christian life at school. That is a lie.
Right. Amen.
I'm not going to put my kids up on a pedestal, but I'm going to tell you right now. They tried to live the life. One teacher she just was irritated. Showed a movie one day. Faith, are you allowed to watch PG movies? Tried to embarrass her in front of the whole classroom, this and that, just because she knew Faith went to church and knew what we did.
Yeah.
But when it come time for the baccalaureate, Faith was inviting this teacher to come and to hear her sing and be in that little Christian service that those seniors were doing. She did not come, but she was greatly influenced by my daughter and told her what an influence she had just because somebody was willing. Lord, it's a lonely road. It's a lonely road.